At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, into the Adam Carriker Show. It's a dreary Monday, ladies and gentlemen, not just because of the game, but just due to the weather, although it is good to get a little bit of moisture. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the Adam Carriker Show, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty. And when he's awake, producer Jake and I have a whole lot of fun in the process. He's smiling over there. He must be awake today. All right, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And if you'd like to do it on Wednesdays as well, Steve Taylor drops that knowledge. Join us here live on 93.7 The Ticket. All right, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch. Come join us. We talk Husker sports, life in general. All right, ladies and gentlemen. The pause was for effect. Oh, and as always, send in your questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, or otherwise. If producer Jake, so it's on him. So if he doesn't answer your question, it's on him. If he deems your question worthy enough, ladies and gentlemen, we will respond immediately on air. Jake, what is that number?
402-464-5685. It is the Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line, and there's a lot of text today, so don't get mad at me. I'm gonna pick through them.
You have my permission to get mad at Jake. You can yell at him through the internet. It's okay, or your phone, or wherever you're listening, the radio, TV, etc. All right. If you saw the headline of the show, is Marcus Satterfield is hurting Nebraska football, and Matt Rhule needs to be held accountable for his hires. So I have been essentially had a lot of things sent my way, calls, texts. And so I've saved some of these, and a lot of these I've found on my own as well. But it's going to be a little bit all over the place, but it's all going to wrap together. Okay. So one of the things that was sent to me as I was actually walking in here, and we're going to give my press conference reaction to Matt Rhule, my reaction to Matt Rhule's press conference at 12:30, 12:35. All right, and then at the end of the show, we will react to all of the major college football games from this past weekend. And there was quite the shakeup. Indiana's now a top 10 team. Is Colorado like a top 20 team? Ohio State is in the top 3 after beating Penn State. All sorts of stuff to talk about at the end of the show in general college football world. But let's get to what matters most. That's Nebraska football and what in the blue hell is going on in Husker Nation. But this is one of the things that was sent to me as I was walking in the doors of the studio. Nebraska coach Matt Rhule says NU can't run the ball to control the game. It can't protect on blitzes very well. None of that is news. He said, and I quote, "I thought we'd play better on offense than we are," end quote. That's the newsworthy part to me, because I'm tired of hearing we weren't ready to go at the start of a game like we should have been, or I thought we'd play better, or basically, I mean, what I hear is the man is not quite prepared, or just not prepared, or doesn't quite know what is needed to be successful in the Big Ten Conference. And I understand it's his first time coaching here, but I'm tired of hearing, "I thought it'd be this. I thought that would happen. I thought we'd come out ready. I thought we'd play better." I'm just kind of tired of hearing that. All right, let's move on to the next one. Nebraska has still not won a game in the Matt Rhule era when the defense gives up more than 14 points. All right, such an indictment on the state of things. The defense has to play lights out or they'll lose every single week. It's not sustainable and cannot be accepted moving forward. I could not possibly agree anymore. Haven't won a single game when the defense has given up 14 points since Matt Rhule got here. Matt Rhule is now 10-11 during his tenure here at Nebraska. That's got to change. And the defense plays good at times, not consistent, not great, good at times. It's very up and down, very sporadic. For me, you got to get more out of your offense than that. All right. There's a couple things in here from some of the current players. Like, here's one from Ty Robinson. All right. Ty Robinson refuses to let Nebraska feel the team players on the team. The here we go again mentality, not going to stand for it. He says, you know, I know people don't want to hear words right now. You know, they want to see actions and results on the field. And I'm with you, honestly. But when it comes to Ty specifically, he's probably my favorite player on the entire team. Like, little things matter to me. He's at every press conference. Like, he hasn't missed a post-game press conference. He doesn't have to be there. He's available every week on Monday to the media. Now, I don't know if he's always there, or on Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday. I don't know if he's always there every single week, but he's there 9 times out of 10. Like, this dude is my favorite player on the team because he's accountable. He has a certain attitude, and he's trying to get people around him to do it as well. It's a challenge. There's still a lot of the Frost players still around. I don't mean that as a slam. I simply mean it as there was a culture and a mentality that's still there. And some of the older players, as much as I love them, it's hard to get those things out of you. If that's what you had indoctrinated or ingrained into you, if that's what you were taught when you were introduced to college life and college football, it's a challenge. Again, not a slam, just is what it is. All right. The result is the same, ladies and gentlemen, with bowl eligibility on the line. Over the past 2 years, Nebraska is 0-7 in games with bowl eligibility on the line. At Michigan State, lost. I remember that Michigan State game. That's a game that I was like, they had lost like 4 or 5 in a row. They were really struggling. They came out and they threw the ball effectively on us and they beat us. And that was, of the 4 straight losses to end last year, that was the one that was the biggest head scratcher to me. All right, at Michigan State, loss. Versus Maryland, loss. At Wisconsin, an overtime loss. Versus Iowa, loss. At Indiana this year, blowout loss. At Ohio State, loss. Versus UCLA, loss. And frankly, it doesn't get a whole lot easier from here. USC, Wisconsin, Iowa, it doesn't get easier. All right. When it comes to Dylan Raiola, you know, I said all summer, all spring, I said, you don't know what you're going to get out of a true freshman. Some people almost kind of laughed at me, like when he looked so good in the spring game. You know, the game where Rule said we want to air it out, and it was basically set up for the offenses to throw well and be successful. You remember that? People almost kind of laughed at me. Some people, not a lot. Not the intelligent ones, but even when he started the year, and I couldn't have been happier the way he was playing. I said he was exceeding expectations. I set the bar low. I said I wanted a 66% completion percentage, 2-to-1 TD to INT ratio, and that was all I wanted. That was, and move the chains, make smart decisions. He was exceeding that, over 70%. He had a percent completion percentage. He was 3-to-1 TD, 9 touchdowns to 3 INT ratio at one point. A lot of that is flipped. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in like a month, throwing a lot more interceptions, obviously not playing the way he would like. But that part of that's on the coaches. Part of that's on the coaches for putting so much on a true freshman. There's been times this year I've sat here and talked about, couldn't count on the defense, couldn't count on the run game. Special teams was a liability. They put it all on the true freshman quarterback. And again, I'm going to harken back to that Illinois game as one of those games. And I think it was unfair what they did. And it's on them for not developing him and actually letting him regress. I'm not going to blame a 19-year-old true freshman. Now, if he were 21 or if he were a third-year starter, it'd be different. But I'm not going to put that on him. He's played more snaps than any other true freshman quarterback in America. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? It was a coaching decision. But his last game was probably his, not probably, it was. Saturday marked Raiola's worst statistical performance of the season, only completing 52% of his passes with 177 yards passing, minus 10 yards rushing before he left the game with a back injury in the fourth quarter. I do hope he's able to play. Probably will be able to. Got to do more with Harburg. I'm going to keep beating that dead horse because the horse ain't dead. They just don't want to pay attention to the guy beating it. All right. What do we got next here? It's been 1 week since Nebraska's Matt Rule waxed poetic about the Huskers' newly found championship mindset. Yes, I remember this one. Nebraska was on the heels of a close loss and a winnable game to number 4 Ohio State. He was proud, as he should have been. He wasn't satisfied, as he should have been, but he was proud and offered up the challenge to his team. This, and I quote, if we don't do it again next week, talking about UCLA, Rule said after the close loss in Columbus, then it was all for naught. This is a step, and it has to be, and it has to be where we are now that we play like this every week, end quote. That did not happen. I don't think the Ohio State game was all for naught. It's an L, but it could have been 63-0, so at least it wasn't that, I guess. Not much of a moral victory or victory at all because you lost to UCLA. Had you gone out and beaten UCLA after the Ohio State performance, we are sitting here feeling so different. Jay, I don't have to question if Jake's taking a nap. He's absolutely awake. He's He's going to have his party hat on. Rashawn's not crying in the previous segment. I love you, Rashawn. But nobody's trying to go after the fans, which is asinine, not asinine or eight. It's asinine. I will talk about that tomorrow. And again, he was a captain. He was a black shirt. He wore the N. He's entitled to his opinion. I'll give mine tomorrow on that. But they didn't follow it up with the win at UCLA. So I'm kind of with Rule. It really demeans what you did at Ohio State. All right. Oh, this was a screenshot from someone said to me. It was my interview. Adam Kruger, Omaha TV station, interviews me every Sunday night, puts it out on the news. So they sent this screenshot to me. And here's my quote. It's weird to say my quote, but it was sent to me. So here it is. And I quote, "This is the time to make the switch. I don't think about it. I do it." End quote. When Adam asked me, should we make a switch as a play caller? Yes. There was no announcement today in the press conference. I even texted Jake. Let's keep an eye on that. I was like looking for it. He's not going to fire anybody. He's not going to do anything. You don't have to do anything. It's the easiest switch in the world. You're now calling plays, Glenn Thomas. Marcus Satterfield. By the way, the tight end group is the only position group that's actually played well this year consistently at all, which is the group Marcus Satterfield coaches. Nothing wrong with being a great position coach. Not a play caller. He's hurting the team with his play calls. Marcus, you focus on the tight ends. Glenn, you have 23 years of college and NFL coaching experience, 10 years as an offensive coordinator. You got a bye week to prepare this team. Let's get ready to go play USC. Didn't happen. All right. Nebraska's last five offensive coordinators.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, earmuffs, children. Marcus Satterfield, Mark Whipple, Matt Lubick, Troy Walters. Dude, Troy Walters gave me daggers for looks because I said one time I'm not sure what he does. And I didn't mean it disrespectfully. I simply said we have an offensive coordinator that doesn't call plays because Scott Frost was calling plays. I'm kind of curious. I'd love to chat with Troy to see what he does as far as the OC. He didn't like that, I tell you what. Danny Langsdorf before that. All right, earmuffs can stay on or go off if you'd like. Satterfield, all right. This was a tweet that was sent me. This is not, you know, a single opinion. Satterfield will inevitably join the long list of Nebraska coordinators who take a step down in coaching positions when he's let go. If that happens, got to speak an if. I digress. The only difference is he's one of the highest paid coordinators in the country. If that does happen, okay. And the guy put here, 3-0 swing and miss by Rule on a fastball middle. All right. Where is Satterfield's? I got his, how much he's being paid in here. Is it 1.2 or 1.4?
1.4 for you there.
All right. So 1.4. And here's the thing. That makes him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. One of the tied for eighth in the country. There's like four guys tied for eighth in the country as the highest paid offensive coordinator in the country. All right. Chip Kelly isn't even the highest paid. Mike Denbrock of Notre Dame, 2.1. Chip Kelly, 2 million. How's Chip Kelly not the highest paid? He really didn't want to be at UCLA. But Deshaun Foster's doing all right there. All right. This was an interesting one. All right, Jake, I want your quick thoughts on this, my friend. If Marcus Satterfield has a job in Lincoln by year's end, Matt Rule's seat will be red hot and I will strike the match. That was sent to me from a friend of mine. Do you think if Satterfield stays on at the end of the year, let's say we don't progress in offense, we don't do better, the season ends how some folks think it might, but he keeps his job. Do you think that makes Matt Rule's seat incredibly hot?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, you're going into year three, and there's expectations for Matt Rule's year three regardless. I just, mm-hmm. I don't see, if the offense doesn't get better, like you said, maybe these last three games, something can change. But if this is how it's going to end, I don't think that Matt Rule can bring back Satterfield. I don't think that can happen going into year three. I think the state might turn upside down.
I just had an image of literally the state of Nebraska just like flip, like the map visual image of state of Nebraska flipping upside down.
It might happen.
All right. Every map that comes out next year, Nebraska would be upside down if what we just talked about happens. All right. Since firing Brian Ferentz last season, Iowa has scored 30 points six times this year. Remember, they had to average 25 last year or Baby Ferentz couldn't keep his job. That didn't happen. He's not there. Daddy Ball no longer reigns in Iowa. And all of a sudden, they've scored 30 points or more 6 times this year. 4 of those have been against Big Ten opponents. Just let that sink in. Coaching matters. I'm afraid Marcus Satterfield is getting similar results to Brian Ferentz. And the very next thing that was sent to me, all right, just like last season, Nebraska might have the worst offense in the Big Ten. Well, Iowa had the worst offense in the Big Ten last year, just to be clear. But yeah, Nebraska's struggling, that's for sure. All right, here's another one I got. I think it's fair to say that Colorado was clearly our Super Bowl. This team has been, this has been an unmotivated team all season outside of that game. With that said, we still own Colorado, LOL. That was actually at 402 Nation on X. You know, it was interesting. I actually think you guys talked about this a week ago on the captain. Did we put too much into the Colorado game? I didn't listen to your segment. I don't know what was said. My take is no. My take is the appropriate amount of effort and energy and priority was placed on that game. And if you think you can't replicate that effort more than just once a year, once every decade, that's insane. Okay. When you're playing in the NFL, every single week is a dogfight that comes down to the end almost. Very rarely is there a blowout. Okay. And they're capable of doing it. In college football, I mean, you look at some of these schedules that some of these teams are playing. You look at Florida, they're playing Bama, they're playing Georgia, they're playing Tennessee, they're playing LSU. I mean, my God, it's like they're playing an NFL schedule. And they're still almost I think they are 500. And were actually ahead of Georgia for a while until their starting quarterback went out, and then Georgia pulled away by 2 TDs. So, no. What about the playoffs? You got to win like 3-4 playoff games in a row to win the Super Bowl, to win a college football playoff now, a championship now. To say that, oh, we put too much priority on Colorado is ridiculous in my mind. You can come out of all hyped up, ready for a game like that. And it's hard to be that hyped every single game, but to say that you can't replicate something like that, like Nebraska never had big games before, and then you didn't have to play 2 or 3 high-ranked opponents in the season in our past history or our past seasons. That's crazy. No, I have no problem with anything about that game, how much effort was put into it. But if that's all you've got and that's all you can give, there are other sports out there that are great options. That's my response to that. All right, the total offense. We're going to go week by week here and total defense. Week 1, we were 33rd in the country. UTEP. Dropped to 58 week 2. Hey, there was 1 week where we moved up. Week 3, we moved up to 50th in the country. Week 4, 62nd, then 77, then 88, then 93. Now we're... down 6 spots to 99 in the country on offense. Total defense, week 1, 29, then 24, then 23, then 30, 19, 13, down to 13th in the country week 6, then 18, 16, and now we're 17, down 1 spot. Kind of been hanging out in that range all year. All right. The UCLA 27-20 win over Nebraska. You can argue Indiana. You can. And if Indiana had happened after Ohio State and UCLA had happened before Ohio State, you can argue Indiana either way. I'm saying the placement and the timing of the game and the fact that you had lost a lot of the goodwill that was built up after the Indiana game that Matt Rhule had built up. You gained a good portion of it back, but it was teetering, and you lost it and then some again with UCLA. So in my opinion, this is the worst loss of the Rhule era because we looked outcoached, unprepared by a first-time head coach who never even been a coordinator before, with all due respect to Deshaun Watson, who I think is recruiting really well out there.
Deshaun Foster, don't give Deshaun Watson any respect.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you for correcting me on that, Deshaun Foster. Okay, we looked unprepared, outcoached, and now 0-5 in November the last 2 years. Makes for a long bye week. All right, here are some of Satterfield's offensive rankings over the years. You know what? I got a picture of that's a little bit clearer, and I'm going to go find that picture. But you just go through the years. It's a little rough to look at. All right. 2013 at Temple, 88th in the country in points per game, 75th in yards per game. 2014, 100th in points per game, 120th in yards per game, 23rd in turnovers per game, by the way. 2015, 61st in the country, made some improvements. Points per game, 96th, crept into the top 100 anyways, in yards per game. All right. says USC here, means University of South Carolina in Satterfield's case, 106th in points per game in the country, 110th in yards per game, 109th in turnovers per game. His offenses, for whatever, tend to produce a lot of turnovers. The next year, 40th in points per game. What a jump that is. Still not top 40, though. Just 72nd in the country in yards per game, 123rd in turnovers per game again. All right, 2023, Nebraska, 120th in the country in points per game, 112th in yards per game. And as we know, not great in turnovers per game. Just not even going to read that out loud. And this year, we're 106th in points per game, 93rd in yards per game. We're actually improved in turnovers per game, up to 56th. All right. How much time we got left here, Jake?
Yeah, a few minutes here.
Okay. So let's move on to the next one here. At the start of the bye week, the situation for Nebraska football could be considered urgent. The Huskers' offense has clearly regressed. The team has clearly regressed. They're clearly not getting better. You look around, you see other teams getting better. Indiana looks stronger week after week. Colorado's clearly improved. Gag me. The Huskers' offense is taking steps back and, frankly, holding the program back. I wonder, and it's almost kind of why I was so curious about today's press conference, and there's still a lot of stuff to talk about. And he's clearly going to wait till the offseason to make any changes, if he's going to presume changes, hopeful changes, with all due respect. Jake, do you think the offseason's a little bit too late to make some changes?
I think you're right. At this point in this would probably be a time maybe I would try to change something up, and maybe, you know, play caller would be something you could do there with Glenn Thomas. I mean, you brought him in the offseason seemingly for a situation like this if it arises. I don't even know how to say the past tense of that, but I would probably say it's time to make the change. But
I don't think the offseason is too late, and I do think Rule is smart enough to recognize that something needs to happen, unless drastic things happen in such an insanely positive way these last three games, which would be great. Doesn't seem likely, unfortunately. I don't think he's going to want to, but he's got to be smart enough to realize that it needs to happen. All right. And again, five of the last six games. Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. Got a cough today. In the post-game press conferences, Rule, I alluded to this earlier, has been really surprised that we started out flat against teams like UCLA, Illinois, Rutgers, Purdue. That's five of the last six games that's been mentioned in the post-game press conference. A couple other random stats, and we got to get to break. Bo Pelini's record in November at Nebraska, 28. Every coach since him in November, 9-26. All right, let's see what else we got before we get out of here. Ooh, I was asked about Dana Holgorsen. Is he in the building? All right, is he still around the program? Like, somebody just wanted to know what he was doing. He's a defensive analyst at TCU. Just answering a question, nothing more. All right, let's see. One fan said, Kurt Cignetti has won as many games in 10 games as Matt Rule has in 21. Almost correct. Indiana's 9-0. Matt Rule's 10-11 in his 21 games. So Cignetti's only coached 9 games, but that was pretty close. All right, any final thoughts here? Games decided by single digits, then we'll head to break. Bo Pelini was 20-11. Bill Callahan was 10-7. Mike Riley was 7-10. Scott Frost was 5-22. Matt Rule, 2-8. And then I do have one more. Jim Rose. Love Jim Rose. I'm troubled by an emerging trend. Our staff struggles to adjust when the other team does something we didn't expect. Didn't Rule make some sort of comment about Indiana spending the entire week studying us and coming up with new things the entire bye week? We could have done that. We could have also done in-game adjustments. Just saying. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. I'll give my reaction to Matt Rule's press conference when we come back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.